Hello, everyone. Seven Investing CEO Simon Erickson here, and thank you for listening to the Seven Investing Podcast. Our podcast is made possible by our subscribers, who allow us to empower you to invest in your future each and every month. In exchange, we give our subscribers exclusive access to our monthly stock market recommendations from each of our lead advisors. To support this podcast and join other Seven Investing fans in our exclusive subscribers forum, where we discuss the latest market moves in real time, go to 7investing.com/subscribe to subscribe to 7 Investing today. We're here to empower you to invest in your future. We are 7 Investing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 7 Investing Podcast. I'm JT Street, and I'm here with 7 Investing founder and CEO Simon Erickson as we go into yet another matchup in our Summer Stock Challenge, Growth versus Income. Simon, how are you today?
Good, JT. Ready to do another one of these. We did the groups yesterday, United Health Group versus CME Group. We got two new companies that are equally as exciting for dividend-paying investors.
Yeah, the battle of the MTs, right? AMT versus LMT today. We've got American Tower taking on Lockheed Martin, making it real easy to look up the tickers as you're comparing the two of these stocks. So let's dive right into it. These are two very well-known, well-respected, established dividend-paying income stocks. Let's start with Lockheed Martin for people who don't live in America, maybe, or don't have quite the understanding of our history in terms of defense. What is Lockheed Martin?
Established is the right word to use for that one, JT. This is an established defense contractor that's making a lot of the weapons that are used by the U.S. military and its allies. And so this, you know, when the Defense Department has a budget that it likes to spend, it likes to build programs up and then kind of have continuations of those programs over time. Some of them that Lockheed Martin has gotten very, very embedded with here in the last couple of years has been the fighter aircraft, right? The F-16, they've got a new program for the Fighting Falcon, the F-35 Lightning, the F-22 Raptor, the F-everything for fighter, because it continues to do those programs and make them better and better over time. Lockheed now is one of only five prime defense contractors for the U.S. Department of Defense. It joins Boeing, General Dynamics, Northrop Grumman, and Raytheon as kind of these prime contractors that then can subtract other things that they need as well. And that's really good, because when you've got that dependency or that dependence on a couple of contractors that do things really, really well, it's very unlikely that the government is going to cut those programs. In fact, if you look at the overall Department of Defense spending, has really, since the year 2000, been at about $250 billion a year. Now it's up to around $900 billion a year. Just steadily increased, JT. I mean, this is one of their favorite contractors to work with. The programs are not going away. There are huge switching costs. They are embedded with the government, and they continue to get more and more efficient as they know these better than anyone else out there. His programs continue to reward the company through growing sales and growing profits, and for investors, a growing dividend.
Hard to bet against the military-industrial complex, right? A five-year investing return for Lockheed Martin, 63%, and that dividend yield, as you mentioned, 2.6%, which is nice and healthy there. Flipping to the other side from defense.
Just one more thing, JT. Apologies for cutting you off.
No, go ahead.
It's just such a strong backlog, too. I forgot to mention this just a moment earlier, and I wanted to kind of point out that Lockheed has kind of net sales of around $16 billion a quarter. You know, if we wanted to call that around $65 billion a year. But they've also got a backlog of $158 billion. So kind of a full, what is that, 3 years worth of revenue locked in through these programs that are already contractual obligations. It just shows that, like, when you say dependable and we say, you know, there's switching costs, it's hard to find any other company that's got a backlog of $160 billion out there. That revenue stream is safe. That dividend that you said that's reliably increasing is very safe too for investors.
So from there, we'll move over to our other MT of the day. That's American Tower. This stock also has a very nice dividend yield, 3.3% right now, which is not bad. One of the higher ones on our income side. And then their five-year investing return is about 46%. Let's talk a little bit about AMT, another company with a global reach. if you'll pardon the pun, as they deal with cell phone towers and our communication software and hardware infrastructure.
Yeah, it's a can you hear me now, right? The Verizon commercial, you remember where the guy, you know, he's always in different places of the world and could you hear him? And if you can, it's probably thanks to American Tower, who's been aggressively building those cell phone towers so that customers like Verizon and AT&T and other international carriers have got great reception. And I don't think I surprise anybody when I say that there has been a rising thirst from the world for not only for cell phone usage, but also data usage and smartphones. And this has really been just a huge boon for American Tower's business. Its overall revenue is growing at about 6.5% year over year. That might not sound amazing. It's not a growth stock. It's an embedded, one of the three largest tower operators in the world. It's kind of an oligopoly out there. But then you look at, you know, the adjusted EBITDA margin, that's earnings before interest and taxes, depreciation and amortization. You know, this is a 64% adjusted EBITDA margin kind of company. It's very, very profitable. And it's organized as a real estate investment trust. It has preferential tax treatments with the United States, but it requires that it distributes 90% of its pre-tax profits to its shareholders as a dividend. And so the play for investors here is as it just kind of continually gets these contracts with large telecom providers, AT&T, Verizon, and others, they add more sites, they add more equipment onto the existing sites. It goes out and it uses its profits to buy other towers from other companies that are not quite as efficient as it is, or it wants to build its own in new locations that are lucrative, and then it shares all of it out with dividends. It's just kind of the steady as she goes kind of business, and you can see that's why you've got an incredible dividend payment that, like you said, JT, is up about 46% over the last 5 years, currently yielding 3.5%, about 3.3%. You can't go wrong with American Tower. You're going to get a rising dividend as its earnings and its revenues continue to grow. And it's very, very shareholder friendly. Fantastic company for a long-term investor.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that that's built into the way that the company is structured as a REIT, which, you know, REITs kind of got, I don't know, almost a bad reputation in the last year, you know, because of rising interest rates. There was the idea that this would negatively impact, you know, companies with that designation as interest rates went up. And so as that happened, the stock price went down. The company itself is, I think, down this year, 11% this year. So that might be something to keep an eye on too, if you're looking at this as a long-term investment over the next 5 years. Certainly that level of interest rate is not going to remain static at where it is over the next 5 years, whether they hike rates further or eventually bring them back down or leave them where they're at. You know, that is going to be there's going to be some level of volatility to that over the next 5 years. And I think the direction, I mean, my crystal ball is as murky as yours, Simon, but I think the direction, you know, me personally, is that it's going to benefit REITs like American Tower as things change and the specter of inflation goes away over the next 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely, JT. A quick correction of what I said. I said that the dividend had increased 46%. That's actually the total return of the company's overall investment return. The dividend's actually up 95% over the last 5 years. Really, really stable performer. Apologies on that earlier and wanted to make a quick correction. To your point about rising rates, that's an excellent point too, that I think that's why the stock's been stuck in neutral. Nobody wants to see a capital-intensive cell tower operator borrowing money at more and more expensive rates. But we've actually seen American Tower has been deleveraging its own balance sheet. It went from, when you kind of look at its net leverage ratio, you know, how much debt is it taking out versus kind of the interest repayments and, you know, the servicing of those debts. It's gone from 5.4x to 5.2x. And then the percentage of its debt that is floating rate, that is adjustable, has gone down from 22.5% to about 20.5% here in the last quarter. Management is aware of the risks associated with rising interest rates, and certainly that's taken into consideration with the way that the company has been capitalized. So I think it's a good point to make. It's a good risk. The other thing that we should see is that it is also kind of unequally growing around the world. The world is not adopting cell phone usage at the same rate. Kind of the fastest growing markets it has are India and Africa. Africa's billings were up 12% year over year. And then India, they've been kind of growing their footprint there since acquiring several sites back in 2017, about 20,000 sites in the country there. And they've been organically growing. But this is what you see, you know, when you see there's kind of three large cell tower operators globally, and then a whole bunch of smaller ones out there. The big get bigger, they've got more of a presence on the monopoly board, and they're able to kind of be a lot more efficient and kind of those fixed costs of the business, they kind of leverage across the entire organization a lot more efficiently. Great place to invest in when you don't want a whole lot of competition and a whole lot of volatility. If you just want to accept those dividend checks and reinvest them right back into the business, compounded over time, American Tower, you can't go wrong with that one.
Yeah, and you just put your finger on what to me is one of the most intriguing parts of American Tower is it gives you a chance to get into emerging markets while still having the protection of a well-established company. So if you are like me, bullish on Africa as a country with a huge population that's growing, that's getting educated, that is going to be a major player in the global economy in the next 20 to 30 years, American Tower is a great way to get exposure to Africa and its technological revolution without having to put yourself into companies that might have a little bit more risk with a more direct exposure, because it's part of what they do. It's a big part of what they do, but it's not everything that they do. So I personally like American Tower for the role that it plays in, you know, turning Africa into a emerging tech and remote work superpower, which are two things that I think are going to be really interesting long term. But you also talked a little bit about American Tower's risk. And I think that that's valid right now, too, with interest rates being the way they are. That's a big risk for them. Let's go back to the other side here and talk about some of the risks for Lockheed Martin. You know, Lockheed Martin over the last, oh, gosh, when did Russia and Ukraine start their war? Since then, that stock has done really, really well because of that conflict. You look at that conflict, I mean, it does seem to be dragging on. I think we recently passed the 500-day mark. But at some point, that conflict is going to end. Is that a risk, a potentially negative risk for Lockheed Martin? If there's not, you know, global conflict, then does it bode poorly? Not for the company, obviously. They've got billions and billions in back orders. Like, we're going to keep spending money on defense, right? But does it bode poorly for them in terms of perception and stock price, I guess, would be my question.
I think it's a fair point. You know, the U.S. is hypersensitive to hypersonic missiles right now. And, you know, Ukraine and Russia or China and Taiwan, you know, I don't think those are geopolitical risks that are going away anytime soon. There is always the possibility of, can the U.S. government fund itself? You know, and does the Defense Department going to continue to have a $900 billion budget as the U.S. itself is trying to, you know, grapple politically with how it's going to fund a lot of the most expensive expenses on its own balance sheet and every
expensive every expenses. That that's right.
I'm trying to grapple on how to say that correctly. Apologies, but I mean it's one of them that, you know, are they going to cut the programs? Probably not. Is the world going to be continually a geopolitical hot zone? Yes, probably it is. You know, is the U.S. going to continue to invest in defense? I think that kind of on both sides, bipartisan agreement. This is important. The risk would be, is there funding cuts and does that impact the contracts that Lockheed has? Certainly possible, but I would consider it to be a low risk investment.
Yeah. Is that the biggest risk that you see? Is that kind of internal cost cutting and that kind of belt tightening here domestically being the biggest risk for Lockheed?
Probably, yeah, political. I mean, you know, it's so tied to large governments and their spending. The U.S. allies have also got, you know, a significant chunk of revenue, not as much as the United States, but it's not, you know, pocket change anymore either. Germany is increasing their Department of Defense budget. Other countries that are tied to the U.S. and have access to Lockheed as a contractor are certainly exposed to it, too. Certainly something to keep an eye on, JT, you know, but we kind of consider Lockheed a hedge against maybe not a hedge against, but a way to invest in the fact that there are things that are happening in the world right now that have got a lot of geopolitical risks, a lot of military risks. Not that you want to necessarily invest in wars or fund wars on things like that, but certainly these contracts are very important for the national sovereignty and the defense of the United States and its allies.
Yeah, I just saw a headline. I haven't had a chance to dive into it yet, but something about a U.S. battle group being moved off the shores of Iran today. So, yeah, things aren't cooling down, that's for certain. So certainly a lot of instability in the future. We can pretty much bet on that. So that's the biggest risk there, which isn't that big one, as we talked about. American Tower, I guess, global instability in terms of financing and inflation like we've been going through is the biggest risk, although they've made it through that with, you know, I would say a fairly minor correction compared to a lot of growth stock names as interest rates rose. Any major risk for American Tower there other than that?
There's, again, it's kind of a difficulty dealing with international governments sometimes. I pointed out late last year, that, you know, India was kind of about 75% of the new international sites that they were constructing. And the government sometimes, at least in this instance with India's government, imposes higher kind of, not even a tax, but a tax, like a royalty that's demanded of the largest telecom operators. That was not expected when they went out there and they had their contracts with American Tower to build the sites, and then they kind of had their economics in play. And then the government comes back and says, you know, actually, you've got to pay us this much versus what we said before. That kind of threw, it threw things off. It threw the plan off, and kind of they had to renegotiate with Vodafone with a lot of the sites that they were wanting to develop or buy out there in India. And so something like that, I mean, it's, again, sometimes very political. There's large telecom operators that are out there. They have got their own concessions they need to make to a lot of these governments. And that can come back and harm the overall economics. Again, you're typically signing 10-year deals when, you know, you do these. It's not super cheap to build cell tower sites, especially if you're building a lot of them at the same time through the upgrade cycles that we see out there. And then the other thing is 5G. You know, is 5G going to be as big of a deal as we thought it was? We've certainly seen deployments, not only in the U.S., but also internationally. Actually, a lot of the rest of the world is going just now to 3G or 4G, which is still serviced by American Tower's customers. But the upgrade cycles tend to be a little cyclical. It doesn't happen kind of in this linear straight line of growth every year. It tends to be a little bit lumpier. And I think that we did see certainly some of that during COVID and during the last couple of years. If capital is more expensive for the telecom companies, maybe they're a little bit less likely to deploy than when capital is cheap and they can get their money on and get their hands on cheap money. So some things to keep in mind, but over the bigger picture, there's certainly no slowdown in demand for data, no matter if you're in the United States or anywhere around the world.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's get to it then. We've got Lockheed Martin versus American Tower. Let's see if we can pick the wrong one again, Simon. We've had a great record of being contraindicators, as our pick yesterday for CME Group got shellacked by United Health, 2-1, 66% to 33%, almost exactly. So let's see if we can pick another winner, shall we? Which is your pick out of these two, Lockheed Martin or American Tower?
It's one I could go either way on, JT. And just as a disclaimer, I do own both of these companies. I've got them locked away in long-term investing accounts. I think that you don't want to just jump in and out in a quarter or two quarters with either of these. They're meant to compound for you. The thing that I think that's most appealing to me right now has been the contraction of American Tower's valuation multiple, specifically the enterprise value of the business divided by the EBITDA of the business. Again, we're talking, this isn't one that you can just look at price to sales or price to earnings. There's a whole lot of debt capital on the balance sheet. And so we want to look at enterprise value. We want to look at EBITDA rather than just earnings. But the contraction from an EV to EBITDA from in kind of late 2021, early 2022, we were at about 33 times EV to EBITDA. Now we're at about 22 times. So we've seen the multiple on American Tower's valuation contracting by about a third here over about a, you know, call it a maybe a 2 year period, almost a 2 year period now. With a company of this high of a quality of cash flow generation, being that it, you know, it doesn't really decrease in revenue. There's a little bit of consolidation with its large customers sometime, you know, with Sprint and, you know, kind of big telecom companies like that. But it just is a stable grower that you're going to expect mid-single digit to high single digit revenue growth and just that dividend that just keeps increasing. I think I'm going to take advantage of the valuation multiple contraction here. I probably would say American Tower over Lockheed as my pick for this matchup so far.
Yeah, I agree with you there too. American Tower is one I own. Lockheed Martin is one that I don't, and we'll probably keep both of those that way for the foreseeable future. Like I said, I think the international play with them is a spectacular sneaky play. You know, they're certainly not going to be getting smaller in the foreseeable future. And even if you do say, well, you know, the days of cell phone towers are numbered in the long game as we get more direct to satellite communications, you know, up there, right? Maybe space economy play over the long term is a play against American Tower. They still have a ton of infrastructure, you know, that they are a real estate behemoth. That's not going away. They can upgrade that into data centers or other things too. And they have a data center component. So I don't think that, you know, it's an established company run by smart folks all over the globe. And they are taking advantage of, like you said, mammoth infrastructure needs as these countries, continents go from 3G to 4G to 5G. So I think there's a lot of potential growth in there. You can hear it in their quarterly earnings calls too. They're excited about the future over there. So I'm excited about their future. So both of us for American Tower, let's see how bad we're getting beat. We put the poll out this morning and, oh, wow, 50-50, dead heat right now. With
right down the middle.
Right down there the middle. It is. Great. I love it when they're like this. So we'll have to keep an eye on it between now and tomorrow. If you want to go vote on it, you can on Twitter at 7Investing. You can also keep up with the action as we head into the finals. Tomorrow we're going to do our free-for-all round where the winner of this matchup and the winner of the previous income matchups will take on our first round buy. That's Tractor Supply Company. So we'll be breaking all of that down. We'll give a little bit of a taste of Tractor Supply tomorrow too. And then at the end, our income winner will take on Tesla early next week in our grand finale as we determine which stock, growth versus income, will be the best to own over the next 5 years. Simon, any last words from you before we close out here today?
I do. I have a fun fact, a trivia question for anyone listening to this show, JT.
All right.
Not even a question. I guess it's more of a statement, but kind of one thing that's interesting that ties these two companies together is that Lockheed's chairman and CEO, Jim, I believe it's Teichlet. I can't remember the last name. I have to look it back up again. But CEO and chairman of Lockheed was previously CEO and chairman of American Tower, a skill set that translates well when you're allocating capital from mega organizations. Kind of a fun fact to close this all out.
We didn't know that when we put these two together. That was completely random. So congrats to the CEO of, I guess, both of those companies. So well done. If you want to find out neat tidbits like this about this and other companies, consider subscribing to 7Investing, where our advisors prepare in-depth reports about 7 stock tickers each month. You can chat with them in our subscriber calls and on our community forum on Discord, and you'll get your first week for just $1 if you subscribe today to our premium service. That is 7investing.com/subscribe. We look forward to chatting with you tomorrow about our free-for-all and getting towards the end of our summer stock challenge later this month. And we look forward, as always, to empowering you to invest in your future. We are 7Investing. Have a great day, everyone.